Hi, Brendan.
Greetings, Alans of Earth.
That took me by surprise. It was funnier than I thought. The Not a Thing podcast. We're on episode 139 this week. And
Jesus.
Yeah, and does that voice sound familiar to anybody else?
To me.
It does to me.
Oh, good. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners of the podcast. We have a guest this week. We have a guest who hosted our 100th episode and designed our fabulous logo, which is on our website, not on that other fake Not a Thing podcast website that someone
made.
Not
a thing.
Yeah. But our guest, your friend and mine, Skylar.
Returning champion.
Well, hello, podcast. Dude, do you guys seriously have a competing Not a Thing podcast website out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's fucking sliding in on your jam that?
It was a pre-slide thing. So when we were getting the domains for the podcast, someone had parked nothing. There was nothing there. It was not a thing.
That's not a thing.
it was at notathing.com. That's why we ended up getting notathingpodcast.com. But at notathing.com, there was nothing there for I don't know how long. It was easily a couple months into the show's lifetime. And then maybe a month ago, I was renewing domains for something else because I have a bunch of domain names for this and that, and I decided
to
just look
on a bunch of domains.
So you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. But I went to go look at notathing.com just to see what was there. And there's a website with this weird, like 45 degrees pink logo that says Not a Thing podcast. And that's all. That's all that's on that website. And there's no, like, it doesn't go anywhere. There's no link to click to email somebody. It's just like weird.
That's crazy.
Know. Yeah.
That's madness. Can you use your massive internet technology brain to reverse Google locate these people?
Oh, sure.
Send them a fire bomb.
Oh, I don't know about a firebomb. I think
the podcast does not confirm or condone firebombing.
Just a little, you know, just a little tasty, a little fire.
Or at least not creating an audio record of doing it before it happened.
But it, allegedly.
It apparently,
this alleged firebombing. Yeah.
It apparently is bought through July of 2016 by someone who apparently lives in San Francisco and put their real like name and address on here.
Noob.
Don't dox them.
I'm not. Not on the air anyway. We won't do it on the air.
No, that would be going against our principles.
Mm-hmm. Not a thing. Mm-hmm. Not a thing.
So, well, our domain is registered through May of 2016, so.
Very interesting. We'll just see what happens. I don't know. What is it? You know, middle of 2016, there may be a reckoning about this domain.
Highlander style San Francisco showdown.
There could be only
one. I would participate in a podcast street fight.
Mm-hmm. Hand grenade, pitchfork.
Yeah, Ron Burgundy and Anchorman.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I could find a trident.
So, Skylar, since we talked to you last, what's your thing been?
I've been nerding out, man. I've been nerding out so hard. I've been reabsorbed into like a serious nerd fascination from my middle school years. Uh-huh. Probably like peak in eighth grade. It's a little game called Warhammer 40,000, which is
no
arguably
way.
The nerdiest fucking thing you can do, but oh my god, is it addictive. It's like, oh dude, it's streamlined nerd crack. It's got every different little facet you could get totally obsessed on, you know? If you're like a backstory Star Wars expanded universe type nerd, it's got that shit covered. If you're some kind of Dungeons and Dragons-y role-playing nerds, got that shit covered. You're some kind of super aggressive fucking fantasy football type nerd, it's got that covered. Oh my god.
Yeah,
Warhammer.
Yeah.
Oh, and if you like to paint models.
Oh yeah, and if you've got like an artsy streak, dude, it's got that covered. If you just like orcs, it's got that shit totally covered.
Yeah, I'm sort of familiar with the Warhammer universe. I did a little bit of what was it called? There was a game back when I was in eighth grade called Space Hulk, which
Oh yeah. It's like a board game. Yeah.
Well, actually, it was a computer game, but I know it was based on the board game, and it's your space marines that are salvaging a ship, and there are a bunch of the I don't remember what they were. They were kind of purple and tentacly.
I remember what they were. Them shits are called Tyranids, and they'll eat you. They'll eat your face. They're like the Zerg from StarCraft.
Yeah.
That's like exactly, that's where StarCraft stole that shit.
I'm sure.
That's like exactly what it's from.
Right.
Yeah, so they're like a evil alien bug hive mind thing. They're pretty great.
So if I'm familiar enough with it, is Warhammer 40K, that came second, right? The Warhammer, like straight up, like wargaming was first?
Yeah, I think the fantasy, you know, elves and
orcs and
flutes
whatever.
And shit. I think that was first, but not by long. I think a couple years, and that's all mid 80s, late 80s now, that all that stuff popped off, which is like a good solid run for
some
kind of game.
So it's the StarCraft to Warcraft.
Totally. It's the StarCraft to Warcraft. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, same fucking thing. Yeah, but, you know, analog.
So do you do specifically the wargaming stuff? Because I know they've expanded into, like, straight-up RPG kind of stuff and a couple other different things, but it's really specifically the wargaming. So what race do you field?
My dudes are Chaos, which is like hell beasts from the warp, which is like a gnarly nether region kind of parallel dimension, which is how everybody moves faster than light. So they like hop into this goop of just demons and evil entities, and then they pop out somewhere else, and that's how they move. That's how that whole universe has handled the faster than light travel. And so my dudes have gotten out and they're mean. They're like the bad guys. They're definitely the bad guys. They're all severed heads and, you know, bloody hearts torn out of the chest, and a bunch of aliens and, you know, demonized. There's a lot of the good guys have been thoroughly hornswoggled by the demons of chaos and like mutated, and you know, so all my dudes are all fucked up and spooky looking, lots of spikes. It's pretty great.
I think it's really funny how much StarCraft really did steal from that.
Oh, I mean, pretty much one for one. Like, they
do,
didn't
do
have
you
to
have
come
a,
up with
like
a
Kerrigan analog?
Which Kerrigan's with the hair and
the Zerg.
The Zerg chick that became not directly. No, that was, I'll give StarCraft that one. Yeah. that one's pretty good. But so in the Space Hulk, which you're talking about, the bad guys, the Tyranids there, it's a very specific like species of Tyranid you're fighting, which are their like vanguard, and they send out well before the like hive fleet comes in to just eat your whole galaxy. They send out these dudes that infiltrate genetically like a whole planet, and it'll make all kinds of gnarly hybrids that are like really insidious, so that when the main dudes come, they pop out and fuck everyone up.
So like species.
Very species, yeah. So that's a thing. But they never really made them hot. So, so species and Kerrigan have that Yeah, a facet that they came up with all by themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they came up with hot chicks.
No, no. No, those have been there for a while.
I think video games and those kind of games.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, okay. Yes. But yeah, I would say Kerrigan's a standalone. That's good stuff.
So how do you get back into it? Were there people you used to play with, or did you find a new group?
New group. Yeah. So how did it work? I was at a party and there were lots of drugs and booze, and one of my girlfriend's friend's boyfriends was there, and another guy came up and was like, "Oh, I just use this silver spray paint. I only need a little bit, but here, you can have the rest. I'm sure you'll need this." And dude was like, "Oh, thanks. I'll totally use this." To which I was like, "What the fuck? Are we seriously passing out spray paint at a party? Like, tell me more." And he's like, "Well, I play a tiny nerd war game called, you've probably never heard of it." And then we talked for like 4 hours.
And that's how they get you.
And that's how they get you. And yeah, I'd pretty much just put all my stuff in cold storage, like locked it up in little, you know, airtight boxes. Nothing was dusty or anything. And most of it transfers to the current rule set. So it was like, Jesus, it was really fast slide and into completed session, because I was like 90% of the way there, like
right
in the jump. So yeah, I'd have no idea how you'd do it if you'd never been indoctrinated. It's like being a coal miner or something. It's like somebody's uncle or dad did it. like every time.
You don't find it in a vacuum.
Yeah, you don't just show up one day or like, I want to invest a retarded amount of money and time in this ridiculous hobby that no girls like. Zero girls. No girls like this hobby.
If there are any female podcast listeners who do play this game, please let us know.
You are unicorns, and I salute you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just listening to you hear, like, listening to you talk about the Tyranids? Did I get that wrong?
The Tyranids.
Tyranids.
Tyranny is.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Just listening to you hear about the quick backstory on that, there must be a lot of kind of richness in the storyline that that comes from it. I mean, it just informs the battling part of it. I mean, because I've seen the models and I've seen the painting stuff, and there is, I think it's Games Workshop, which is the company that makes the company them.
Makes all that shit.
And yep. I've seen them in the mall, and they have like the epic big table with all of the realistic terrain and everything. And it looks like, I don't know, what's the closest thing I can think of is in like movies for wars, and they have the commanders with all the little figurines and they're pushing them on the little table.
Oh, yeah.
It looks similar to that, but I can't imagine it's like that.
It's really similar to like
Space Rommel.
It's very Space Rommel, very big blood table on Dragonstone from Game of Thrones. It's very yeah, it's very much like that. The backstory is huge. They've got Games Workshop has a whole branch, like a whole wing called something like the Black Library that just crushes just an insane amount of fiction, and it's all canon and it's all tied together. Ugh. And it's nuts. It's totally crazy. There's more like world destroying, murderous, face crushing, demon eating your whole race. I mean, it gets like hairy and extremely expansive. There's tens of thousands of pages of backstory, right?
I did have a request from a listener for an explanation or brief explanation about the emperor of this game.
Oh my god. so all right, if you're a human in this game, you're pretty much the good guys. There's one other group, so there's like some space elves, which are flight kind of above it all, so not really the good guys. And then there's straight space communists, which just came out, which are hilarious. They're called the Tau, and they're like all you know, for the greater good. Like, you know, buck up and do your part. And I'll cruise over to your world and be like, hey, you guys want to join the Empire? It's pretty great over here. And those guys are just out to lunch. But pretty much who everybody identifies with as the good guys is the Imperium of Man, right? Spread all around the known galaxy. Hella humans. Hella humans. Million worlds or something like that. Bunch of people. And the driving force behind all that expansion was this one dude who's just called the Emperor, like probably had a name, but they're never like Emperor Ted. It's like the Emperor.
And may there never be an Emperor.
Sorry, Ted.
And so this,
I'm not sorry, Ted.
Yeah, it's not happening, Ted. So this whole universe takes place in our universe, but in the year 40,000, hence the little 40,000 moniker, right? I think in like the year 25,000, 30,000, something like that, the Emperor unified like all the known humans, which were mostly on Earth and Mars and like a few other planets around here. He was like some hyper powerful psychic uber warrior demigod bro.
So Paul Atreides.
Paul Atreides, totally. Fucking totally Paul Atreides.
I was cruised thinking more around Duke Leto, but okay.
Yeah, but no, more Paul Atreides because magic.
Duke Leto was not successful.
Because magic.
Dude got ice.
So dude cruises all around and unifies like every little mini planet in between the planets and just pushes the boundaries like crazy, expands to a million worlds or whatever. Gets a bunch of his own genetic material, breaks it down, and starts modifying like baby humans with his genes, creating like a race of super soldiers, which then my demons fucking steal and scatter through the winds of time. And that gets fucking weird. Long story short, dude gets killed by his favored son, right? So he's got these genetic offspring of his.
Uh-huh.
The best one, biggest, strongest, most powerful one, and Emperor, get in, blood, death, murder, super fight, kills everything. And main dude's main opponent killed, Emperor mortally wounded. So they build him a big, sweet chair that's really big and really sweet. I mean, it's like, in the fluff, it's probably 100 stories tall. It's insane. It's like a big mechanical sarcophagus thing to keep his body alive. And so that's the deal, and that's how it's been for 10,000 years. He's been maintained in this weird stasis chair, which is like, okay, sure, all right, yeah, that doesn't sound that creepy. Fucking 10,000 human psychics a day are sacrificed to this chair to power this dude's continued well-being. All right, so there's like a whole arm of humanity just cruise around on ships, like just fact checking and, you know, scoping out the census on every planet, being like, oh, that guy's that he can move a fork with his mind. Hey, you should come in this ship right now, and then bring him back to Earth and sacrifice him to the chair, which is fucking crazy. Whole part of the reason is that he's like, he's the Pope, you know, everybody likes the Pope. So
Space Pope.
So part of it's spiritual, you know, keep all humanity unified under crazy Space Pope. Part of it is that he's such a powerful, like, psychic force that other humans, when they're in that crazy warp space, like in between when they're traveling faster than light, they can see the Emperor glowing over in the corner as like a stationary beacon. So he's like the North Light that all interstellar travel by humans guides by. So like if he ever goes offline, then everybody's to their own again. It's all lower than light speed. It's all random. So they kind of got a sacrifice. It's fucking dark. That's what it comes down to. It is the phrase that keeps coming up is grim, dark future, right? So most 40K people just refer to it as the grim dark. And so, like, if there's some shit that's extra rough where they're like, oh, so that weapon, like, It shoots inside of you, and then it releases like a little creature that goes crazy and crawls around and then eats your brain and then takes you over. That's grimdark. And like, it's pretty much all, it's very fucking, and that's the good guy, right? That's best case scenario. Like, that is the shining beacon of pure altruism. It's a fucking dude that has 10,000 dudes sacrificed to him a day. It's rough. It's rough out there.
Pretty grimdark.
Wow. It's fucking grimdark, dude.
So walk me through, like, are games measured in, like, rounds, or is there, like...
Yeah, so it's turns. I mean, it's turn-based. Imagine, like, I don't know. What's a good turn-based strategy game? It's been so long since there has been one.
Kind of riskish, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's very riskish. So you've got some advantage if you go first. But...
Risky. Risky would have been better. Damn it. Okay.
No, that's probably trademarked.
So you pick, everything's broken down, all the characters and creatures and troops and shit, they've got a points value. So you talk with your opponent or opponents beforehand, you pick a point number, you know, so say 1,000 or 2,000. Then you look in your big rule book of your particular army, and it breaks down every single dude you can get, which you're mandated to have. You know, you gotta have some kind of leader and usually a couple of troops, couple of like groups of troops, and then there's a lot of flexibility from that point onward. So there'll be a points breakdown for every character, every group, everybody you can possibly field, and then other little points breakdowns for all their little weapons and fucking trickery and cool armor or whatever you want to put on them. So you get as close to you as you possibly can to that top points value you agreed on, and that should theoretically make the game relatively balanced from the start. I mean, it's never going to be like chess, you know? Uh-huh. It's never going to be like a truly balanced side, because some units are always just fucking sweet and they're super good. And they're just way better than they should be for their points value. So there's like a tournament scene, and you see things that don't make like a lot of sense from the lore side of things, you know? You'll see like for my army, there's a giant fucking murderous super demon from the God of Blood. All right. There's not a lot of this dude. His name's the Bloodthirster. It's fucking sweet. Giant, like foot tall, winged fucking axe that's as tall as three dudes, that kind of thing. Right. Mm-hmm. It's got like a face of a bull. It's fucking mean. Shoots. He like screams loud enough that it'll explode people's brains. It's fucking sweet. Right. So you'll see in a tournament, it'll be like two groups of troops and three of that guy. And you're like, that doesn't make sense. Like, that would never be, right? This dude right. leads 1,000 minions. Like, that's his jam. He doesn't hang out with three of himself. Anyway, I digress. So you figure out the points. You figure out your army as best as you can do. You could either make it very douchey if you're just trying to win, like at all costs. Or you can make it way more fluffy and kind of like in fitting with the storyline and come up with your own little backstory and make it all like really intricate if you decide to. And then it's a dice-based game. So you roll to see who goes first. You roll to see who picks what side first. You set up the terrain as makes sense for both of you. And then you just try to fuck each other up. So there's like a movement phase for each turn. There's a movement phase. And there's like a shooting phase. And then there's a psychic phase, and then there's a close combat phase if you're close enough and you can touch.
And so there's like things based on like how you can move like directionally and distances or.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare that you're limited in what direction you can move, but distances vary. Like if you've got some, like for me, some fucking hell beast, demon dog, warp bred, blood murderous hellhound can move pretty far. And then if you're just some dude they pulled off the street from some shitty imperial town and give him like a gun and be like, go shoot that dog, guy can't move that far. and lots of other things. So there's the terrain enters into it. Terrain's huge in the gamer if you're behind stuff. Lots of things through dense cover. Like, so it provides protection, but it also slows them down. And then it just gets complicated because there's a lot of dudes from the Imperium of Man that can just like show up out of fucking drop pods from the sky. Very Starship Troopers-y. My demons can just get summoned straight out of the warp because they're demons and like they don't have anything better to do. So things come in from reserve. Stuff doesn't always necessarily show up on the table at the beginning of the game. And yeah, so it usually goes, I think a game's at least three rounds. And then depending, so there's also a giant amount of missions that give you like tactical objectives rather than just like murder your enemy. So there's hundreds of missions which add to the complexity of the tactical environment. So you're not just playing the same thing over and over and over again.
Sure.
It's ridiculously intricate.
Yeah, it sounds super deep.
a lot of it comes down to who knows what's going on better and can anticipate like the possibilities and who's actually like read the 100-page rule book. Because it dictates a lot of shit, and it's a really, really crazily intricate game.
And how long is the game left?
If somebody just totally gets fucking hosed, it could take like 40 minutes, but usually a couple hours, and then sometimes really long. You know, it could go Monopoly levels of time depending on how things roll. You know?
I think that is the standard unit of measurement.
It's a Monopoly.
A long game. It's like, that's one Monopoly.
Yeah, it could go a full Monopoly if things get really weird. Or if you've got like maybe four people playing, it could go Monopoly.
Oh, we played a triple Monopoly game last night. Brutal.
Yeah. And then there's just a huge variety of armies. And then within each army, I think there's something like 16 playable armies. And then within each army, there's, I don't know, 20, let's say, average unit types. Mm-hmm. And then for any given unit, there's probably, you know, a lot of rules will read something like, you can have this unit be like 1 to 6 dudes. For every 3 dudes, you can have one of them take one of these 5 guns as additional for X amount of points. So, I mean, what's that? That's like 1,000 ways to kit out between 1 and 6 dudes.
Yeah.
Times 20 different types. And then you can have different multiples of each thing or none of something and 3 of another. I mean, it's like,
there's a lot of, potential for replayability once you get into it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You could play the same. You could even play the same army against the same army. You know, like your army without changing a thing against your friend's army without changing a thing, just changing terrain, you know, and dice rolls changes everything. And some armies are way more random than others. Like the humans tend to be pretty vanilla and pretty easy. You know, it's like this gun will hit on like a 4, 5, or 6 on a die, right? You roll a d6, 4, 5, or 6, hits the guy, 1, 2, or 3, nothing. You get a fucking orc in there with some kind of like goblin based rocket. It's like on a 1, that goblin's retarded and hits the button and it detonates right there, hitting like 1 to 3 of your orcs, you know? Or so there's some units that are just incredibly complicated all by themselves, which can slow down everything a whole lot if your opponent doesn't know what they're doing and has read their 100-page rule book.
Yeah, that's the thing that sounds a little daunting to me. Like, if I wanted to start, obviously I need...
No, you're
like,
too old. You can't.
He's too old to begin the training.
It's like taking up polo or something.
I've decided to become a ballerina at the age of 29.
Yeah, it's like, you're done, dude. Your tendons will never be right. Yeah, no, it's... It's like if you wanted to start, I don't even know how the fuck you do it. You'd probably have to find a buddy. You know? Somebody else that you can dumb through it with for a while. I'm not even shitting you. The rule book is, the core rules are like 100 pages.
And then each army has its own individual rules.
Yeah. And then, so like for my army, there's 3 rule books. for my army. So for, if you want to go through all of the, it's probably 450 pages.
So this is want to know really, with all the variability and all the mechanics involved and all the different styles, this really is an analog video game. That's like, this is why we invented video games.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have to do this.
Exactly. Exactly. However.
So if you have a small child that you want to train to be a high level nerd, get him some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're over the age of, what, 18?
Yeah, probably. Then, this is a good, like, middle school obsession.
Yeah, then you should probably stick with an Xbox or PlayStation.
So, interestingly, about maybe a couple months ago, I picked up a starter kit for the, I forget what it's called. I think it is just called Star Wars X-Wing.
Oh, yeah, X-Wing. I've played X-Wing.
It's similar. Well, I mean, there are similarities. It's a war fighting game, but it's a dog fighting game. Really, you're playing as, you know, the rebels versus the Imperials, and you know it's all based in the Star Wars universe. And there is that point level thing where you both agree on a point value, and then you set up on a table. The thing that that's interesting that I found really neat from that is that there's movement guides, and so every spacecraft has some like ability to move. Like a Y-wing is kind of slow and bomber-like, and an A-wing, you know, turns on a dime and that kind of thing. And so you pick your movement. All in secret, and then you turn them over and you reveal them all at once during the movement phase. And when you do that, all the planes kind of, or all the things move kind of in an order. And then once that order is finished, then the shooting begins. And shooting only occurs if you're within the firing arc of the spacecraft. It's an elegant system, I think. And
from a more civilized time?
I mean, possibly... Nice. It's possibly easier to pick up if you're not, you know, in middle school and would like an obsession, because there are actually two levels of this game now. I just found out there's a Star Wars Armada game, and that one is like fleets of ships. So it's not just like individual like X-Wings and TIE Fighters. It's like, here's a squadron of TIE Fighters. Go fly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've played that game a little bit. It's definitely easier to pick up. It is definitely more... And it really wouldn't surprise me if whoever developed that game played a shit ton of Warhammer. Because there's a lot of really similar elements that are just kind of streamlined.
So if you're, it's a good if game. You're like in game. Middle school age or younger, you can play these games.
Right.
Or if you're in a... Most of the people you play with are married.
Yeah.
So you've already gotten married or are in a long-term relationship, then you can probably try and pick it up. If you're anywhere in between there, don't even bother.
And realistically, everyone
I know who plays is either in a long-term relationship or married.
Uh-huh. And my whole crew, nobody's picked it up any later than right at the beginning of college when they didn't have like tight homies.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like nobody's picked this shit up mid-career. not happening. It's just like, which is interesting from the developer side of things. You're like, what is your like marketing strategy based on, because the shit has gotten really complicated. When it's, I first started this is on the 7th edition of the rules, and when I first started was like the 3rd edition, and that's widely considered the dumbest set of rules, like the most streamlined. I mean, the whole rule book was like 150 pages, and most of it was like fluffy stories. Like, and then this guy crushed this thing's face with his boot. It was good. That's like most of it was fluff. Like the actual core rules was pretty fast. It was like a quicker game. If I'd been hit with this when I was 12, I don't know if I would have had the perseverance to like read all the shit and get that far before I could even play a game. Like,
interesting.
I don't know what the hell you, I don't know who they're targeting this towards. I don't know what's going on. It is crazily complicated.
Yeah, because I've heard a similar thing for role-playing games, for Dungeons & Dragons. Mm-hmm. They've made starter kits, like beginner, like if you're going to start, you should get this. And it has like some pre-rolled stories and characters and you just jump in. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like there's no such affordances.
Well, they make starter kits for Warhammer 40,000, but it's just, they're so tiny scale and they're still really expensive because this shit is loot. This is a rich man's hobby, like for sure. So a starter kit, which will give you a fifth the army you need to play anybody that's currently playing, will cost you $150.
Holy jeez.
for you and your buddy. And then those two sides aren't evenly matched within game dynamics. And they don't have the rules for both of those sides within the starter kit. So it's right. like
it's just it's like just to give
you're,
you
a, you're looking at like PS4 money.
Oh yeah. Oh, to have like a legit army that's what you want is probably $1,000.
Wow.
Like, I could buy a computer and get all the real-time strategy games I
Absolutely.
Want.
Absolutely. These are a lot more pleasurable of an experience playing with a buddy this game than playing against a buddy, even if you're sitting right next to him in a game of Warcraft or something. Hmm. Like, I've done both. And it's like, it's a real thing. Like, it feels more visceral. There is actually, because there's such an insane amount of rules, there's a lot more freedom in ways to kind of tag team and bounce things off other things and create little combinations that you wouldn't think would work out well. And it's a lot more complicated mental strategy than like something like StarCraft is so like time-based.
Sure.
You know? It's so demanding of like your clicks per minute or whatever. That's like a big part of it. And like, I've seen one of my buddies has gotten fully fucking nerded out on watching like, what is it? Twitch.
Yeah.
Like Twitch StarCraft stuff. Yeah. And,
Not a thing.
Pretty much everybody starts out the first like 10 minutes of the game doing the same thing. There's like, you know, you gotta make like
yep.
two of this dude, and then you mm-hmm. make one of his little pits, and then you make another guy, and you send him to the puffer mine, and then, I mean, it's like, it's pretty formulaic in the beginning, at least. And this shit, you can like get onto such a crazy roll immediately if you've got your opponent psyched out. Like, or the dice can just completely roll against you, and you get completely hosed. I mean, it's fun. I like it. I really do like it.
Nice. It was enough for you to come to me and say,
I want
to
talk about this
talk
shit.
About this.
Yeah, dude, I'm so obsessed.
Very rarely
again.
Do we have people who are like, I need to channel this.
I got a vent. it's a crazy thing. And because most of my opponents and compatriots are either like married or engaged or married with kids, that the amount of time you actually play the game is like so minimal compared to the amount of time you spend obsessing about it when you're taking a crap at work or like painting models or thinking about how you're gonna hose over one of your friends or it's like, so it's actually very,
the anticipation probably makes the actual play better.
It does. Yeah. And it's a really internalized game for a lot of it. You can play out a lot of scenarios inside your head that, you can flesh out a lot of stuff like inside your own head, which I don't know if you can do with like a Warcraft. I think you just kind of play the game. It's more direct. This game is more, I don't even know. It's madness.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, definitely a thing.
Dude, it's something. Yeah.
Yeah, I've looked into war games. I used to play like, or I have played in the very distant past. I played BattleTech a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of evolved into MechWarrior a little bit, and then I got into the video game versions of those, and like I liked him a lot, and then very quickly like fell into the first person shooter trap and played a lot of those. But I do remember the wargaming stuff being fun, but the thing that always held me back was that I felt like I had to, like, in order to play, you had to have money. You had to buy all of the bits. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a significant, like, barrier to entry, I think. But
dude, it's a huge barrier. And it's a way bigger barrier to entry if you don't know what's going on. Like, if you know, like, right now, I could go on eBay and kind of, like, root around and figure out pretty much exactly whatever army I wanted for maybe, like, $500. And then if I didn't want that army anymore, I could sell it for like $500, you know? But that's only because I know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that is to get incredibly invested at some. The only way to keep the momentum, have the shit in front of you. So, it's the initial barrier is just so high. Like, I would imagine, I don't know, but I would imagine that the average Warhammer player is like my demographic, super late 20s, like mid 30s, somewhere in there. That's my guess. I don't think it's a whole lot older, and I know it's not younger.
I was trying to think if I've ever played a war game like that, and I haven't, except when we were children, my cousins and I had such large Micro Machines collections with the tanks and the jets and everything that we invented our own dice-based battle game.
Whoa.
We had boards that we built with actual, like, backgrounds on them.
There you go. So just
and those, that was real easy entry because we made up the rules.
Yeah.
But there were rules.
Just imagine if your cousins were stealing half your disposable income and had, like, 30 nerds in England cranking out rules for you.
That would have been so much easier. That would have been so
and weirder and easier. No, it's a good thing. I mean, it really is. And the company is super proactive at putting out new shit all the time, which constantly changes the dynamics of the thing, because all of a sudden you've got a whole new tech. Like, they just added flying shit a couple of years ago. There'd never been anything flying, really. They've been like hovery stuff.
But and things space.
But it's like, it's infantry combat is essentially the game.
But in space.
Nobody's in space here, Brandon. All right, fine. But yeah, things that truly fly, that can like blast across the board in like a turn and then fly off and then maybe come back in that game or maybe not. That shit's a new thing, which creates a whole new, like, well, I got to shoot that out of the fucking sky now, which adds...
a game that sounds like it didn't need any more complexity.
Oh, it added a whole lot of complexity. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay, which so I think the takeaway from this is either get a time machine and a large, you know, or just find a buddy. Because that's really what you need. You just need a buddy.
It's like...
if you feel like you got time you can sacrifice in your life, then do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you were seriously considering becoming, like, a Freemason, or... or, like, joining city council.
Or, yeah, running for city council.
Doing some similar time-wasting fuckery. This is totally acceptable time-wasting fuckery. Yeah. It'll keep you out of the jail.
Yeah.
Because you'll be sitting in your basement painting inch and a half tall figurines for the next 36 hours.
Are you on parole? Try Warhammer.
Yeah. It would be really good for parolees. It would be good.
I think, find a buddy is the reason the podcast is available.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps us off the streets, mostly. It kind of keeps us off the streets. Although, Brendan, it's you interesting visit to some of the streets tonight.
On my quest to, as part of my exploratory committee on running a campaign for TBD office, I went to my first city council meeting tonight, and the writers at Parks and Rec nailed it. Yep. That is a documentary. It's not, I mean, it is comedy, but reality is also comedy. There are some wackos out there, and they have their 3 minutes, and it is pure gold.
Yeah.
I still need to get some more information about the actual responsibilities of city council, but I'm sure they have lots of other committees they have to be a part of and things they have to do, but I could sit for 2 nights a month listening to the crazies entertain me, especially if they don't drug test.
Oh my God. So at KCPR, when I was in college, as a community service, we broadcast the city council meetings every, whatever it was. It was like every other Tuesday. And it was like in the middle of the evening, like 8 to 10 or something like that. And everyone had to pull a city council shift. And really all it was doing was being in the building when you turn the feed on and then being able to turn it back off at the end of the meeting, which, you know, kind of varied. But it was like the shift nobody wanted. I mean, I found it actually kind of nice because if you can tune out the noise, it was like a perfect time to, you know, do anything else. But I can understand that.
No, it definitely was something that entertained me, and it did give me a much stronger sense of community and knowing what was going on in my community. Mm. There's actually a lot of interesting stuff going on that I didn't know about. But I think I'm going to make it a thing, city council tailgating.
Yeah.
The meeting's at like 6, show up at like 5 with some barbecue and some beers, get a nice buzz going. I really think it could be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage our listeners to join us or go to your own city councils in whatever city you're in and, get a buzz on and watch your community,
mm-hmm.
community theater.
I've been thinking, we've been talking a moment before the podcast. I think a hot toddy might be the exact right drink for a city council meeting. I think you might look respectable enough with your little tea bag, a little dangly string sticking out of your little mug. You know, I think it might lend some credence to us as.
And you'll be accosted by someone telling you about the fluoride in the water that you're currently drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is the wine country. Yeah. This is the wine country bunker. These are interesting people.
Yeah. Wild. Oh my God. Okay. Well, we're doing well. I don't know how you guys are doing. I feel like I could talk to you for like 3 more hours, but unfortunately,
well, you are two of my favorite people to talk to. So.
our podcast,
this can be a 9-hour podcast.
Yeah, our podcast. We've never done like the thing where we like release like multiple parts of the show. I don't know. I think we pretty much have a good rounded picture of of some stuff, at least this week. Skylar, I have to say thank you again for being on the air with us. And
yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
And talking Warhammer 40K. I know it's something that I had always wanted to hear about a little bit from someone that wasn't trying to sell me his army.
Yeah, he is passionate about it.
Yeah,
but not currently,
yeah, that currently enjoys what they're doing. Yeah.
I might actually pick up a game of X-Wing this week just to get back into it. I do agree.
I think it's
like, there's
good
something
for your brain.
Yes, you know? I think there's something nice about playing board games, especially. It's just the A, it's the analog aspect of it, and B, it's the you're playing against a person you can like see.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole psychological warfare meta to it. You know, there's start just mean mugging whoever's across the table for you, or slouching to show indifference, and then pouncing. I mean, there's there's a physicality to it that is really satisfying instead of just seeing like. Whatever, fucking Giants fan 227 calling you a fucking boner on Xbox Live, which is like
getting screamed at by British 12-year-olds as they teabag your body,
trounce your ass. Yeah, in Modern Warfare or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice being there with people.
Probably a lot less racial slurs and homophobic screaming.
Definitely a lot less homophobic. A lot of racial shit, but made up races, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
You fucking orc, goon, dumb fuck. Yeah.
Right.
And that's another thing. People, especially like people that have been playing this shit for a while, gravitate towards an army that makes sense, you know? You're like, oh, you're I have a buddy that's like a lighting designer, you know, and he plays space robots, and you're like, that makes sense. I've got a friend that's essentially an elf, and he plays a space elf, and you're like, that also makes sense.
Oh my god!
I don't know what the bad guy says about me, but
that is pretty telling.
So
yeah, maybe deep down, I just like murder. I don't know.
So I think the fitting end of this show is you have to pick the army for Brendan and for me.
Oh, the army. I think Brendan would enjoy the shit out of an orc. I think he would. They're so funny and ridiculous, and you can just fit. I mean, they've got rules like if you paint your vehicles red, they go a little bit faster because the red is faster.
I would do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Like that. I love it.
And for you, Mr. Allen, oh god, it's okay, here's one. There's a group of elves from space, right? But they're evil hedonistic space elves that that
I'm listening
so much. And did so much general debauchery. They created an entire new god, and now that god eats the souls of elves when they die, which is pretty great. It's a pretty good story.
Sweet.
Nailed it. Yeah. First try.
That'll work. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you've done yet another service for this show, Skylar. Thank you.
Well, thank you too, man.
You can retain your returning champion crown.
Returning champion. And if you have any problem with that, fellow multi-time podcast participants, fucking play me a game.
Watch out, Julie.
Awesome. Well, Brendan, next week will actually be somewhat interesting because I'm going to be recording from
that's not funny, man.
What? No, it's interesting for a different reason, not interesting because in comparison or anything.
I'm taking everything personally.
Why would you ever think that?
I'll remember this day. You'll rue the day.
But interesting because I'm recording from Orlando, Florida again. It's the yearly random conference in May, and this year it's in Florida. So I will be re-inaugurating Florida Man. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, Florida Man. Yeah, that's good shit. That's good shit.
So hopefully we record on time or some facsimile thereof. So I will talk to you next week, Brendan.
Till next time, Alan.